Your employees, your team need to know that your passion and your vision is real. They can't just be words on the paper. They have to be the actions that you live by every day.
Hello, podcast.
Hi, podcast.
Today, I have a very special guest. She is my mother, and she also happens to be the mother of So Good, co-founder and CEO, Claudia. Woo. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Feels so nice to have you.
Likewise.
What are you drinking?
A cucumber smoothie by So Good.
I'm drinking the So Fresh, So Clean smoothie.
That's my second favorite.
Of course it would be. It's the detox smoothie, and I was definitely going to go for the chai smoothie today, but I had a 14-inch pizza last night.
So the detox smoothie is good for the digestion.
And I'm about to get on a flight in 2 hours, so I thought, why not kick the day off, right? There's been a lot of interest in the startup world and seeing the faces behind companies. There are a lot of podcasts and YouTube shows about, you know, seeing the faces behind the brands and how did it all start. And I think, why not follow a company from the very beginning? Why not put a face behind the brand right from the start and really get to know our customers? I think you and I love especially just getting to meet people and form those personal connections. And I think that's what's been helping So Good be so good.
For those of you that don't know, one of the reasons that we're starting this podcast is because, you know, after a few trade shows where Lexi got to meet founders and entrepreneurs and startups, she was really inspired. She was inspired by those stories of people that were investing in their local neighborhoods, in their main streets, in their employees. And, you know, this podcast is really about highlighting those, highlighting, you know, the everyday Joe that's just getting up in the morning with a passion, with an idea, with a hunger for something that's a little bit bigger than himself. And that's really what this is about. We're starting with So Good because we're starting with So Good. And it's been the kind of the launching point for so many conversations and thoughts and an amazing company that is just, you know, coming into fruition. And so that's why I'm really excited about this. I feel like so often in the world today, we focus on the negative. We focus on everything that's going wrong. And hopefully this podcast is a little glimmer of hope and happiness and loveliness because there are so many amazing people out there with such deep passions for their communities and their businesses. And highlighting those, I think, are really important. We may not all agree on everything. There are so many things that divide us today, but there are so many more things that can bring us together. The love for our families, our communities, the passions of business, the trials and tribulations. Those are the things that we want to focus on.
I could hear you talk all day. and this is exactly why I wanted to have you on as the first guest. I think so many people have stories and lessons and obstacles that they've overcome that can inspire other people to get through their own obstacles or just to live a better life. And I think that is the essence of So Good is sowing seeds of positive change in our communities, our health, ourselves, our environment, our world. And we always had this mentality that in order to positively impact your life or someone else's, you don't need to sell all your stuff and move to a shack. You don't need to give up all your money. You don't need to take these drastic measures in order to make a difference because it's not sustainable. The way to really make sustainable changes is to start small. One snack, one sip, one story at a time. And I think that's the thought process behind So Good. And I'll shift it over to you as the CEO and founder. What is So Good? and how did it come to be?
So thank you for that. And you're welcome. I think one of the things that it has been really important for me in my journey is finding inspiration from those around us.
You said to me from a young age, you're never too good for anyone. And if you think you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Exactly. I love that quote. And I've been using it so much more lately. Yeah. But, you know, just like as a mother, you try to inspire and shape and guide your children. Your children inspire and guide you. And so, you know, as much as I've taught, I've learned from Lexi and Ava and Ira. And I think that our family is kind of a subset of So Good, right? Mm-hmm. Or the beginning.
Where, the founding family.
You know, in our family, it was about taking risks, being passionate and aggressive and going after what you want in life. And So Good is a lot like that. We had sold a company about 2 years ago, and we were really fortunate that we did really well, and we've been incredibly blessed financially. And the pandemic was just starting. And we were fortunate that we were in Colorado. And for
all living together for longer than we had ever done in like a decade.
It was the first time in years that we had all been under the same roof for more than a week at a time. And, you know, we see businesses closing, people being laid off, communities struggling, people struggling. And it broke our hearts. People that we had known that worked incredibly hard, that were just amazing people, you know, suddenly didn't know what the future was going to hold. And so instead of taking some time off, which we hadn't done in 10 years, we decided, you know what, we've got to get off the sideline. And going to the grocery store, I mean, we take so much for granted living in the States. You know, we really are a land of abundance and opportunity. And I remember going to the grocery store the first time right after the pandemic hit, and shelves were empty.
Which is weird, yeah. You're used to seeing shelves full, stores open. And so it's a very weird concept when you see them.
Oh, it was mind-blowing to me. Yeah. And so, you know, we're watching all these things happen. And in our previous company, we became experts in freeze-dried technology. There was not enough freeze-dried capacity or expertise in the U.S. If you really wanted great freeze-dried products and machines, you went to Germany.
Pause and explain what freeze-drying is.
So freeze-drying, the power of freeze-drying, which So Good is built upon, is you take a vacuum chamber. So the vacuum is like space. That's kind of the atmosphere that lives inside the chamber. And so you pull this tremendous vacuum, and then you apply a little bit of heat to the product, and you have these cold plates. So really, really cold refrigeration. It's 40 below zero inside our chamber. And so when those three things hit something called the glass transition point, and I won't bore you guys with what that is, the water in the product immediately goes from ice to vapor. And so it leaves, you know, almost 100% of the nutritional value of the product. It leaves the shape of the product. And because you're taking all that moisture out, you have this concentration of flavor in the product, which is just amazing. It's like you get little bursts of strawberry or blueberry or whatever it is. And so it creates an incredibly nutritious and delicious snack.
There we go.
Yeah.
So you were told you can't compete with Germany, China, India in the freeze-drying space. And how did you and Ira take that?
Well, my parents and Ira's parents are both immigrants to the U.S. They came here with nothing. Ira's parents survived the Holocaust. My parents came from Mexico. You know, people come here with nothing and build tremendous lives and tremendous families. And so we've always taken that very much to heart. We've taken to heart that if you believe in yourself, if you have a passion for something and you're willing to work hard, because success does not come without a tremendous amount of work and sacrifice. And anyone that tells you differently is lying. That you can build anything. You can do anything. And so, you know, we're looking at the pandemic. And of course, everyone's like, okay, everyone keep, you know, all their cash in the bank. No one knows what's going to happen. Don't start a new business. And we said, no, you know, right now is the perfect time to start a business. When people need opportunity, when people need hope, when people need something to be passionate about, something to work hard towards. And so, you know, the pillars of So Good are, from an employee standpoint, is let's empower our employees. Every single employee, from our sanitation worker all the way up the line, gets stock options because we want them to benefit from all their hard work. We want them to actually have ownership of what they're doing. You don't build a business in a silo. You don't build a business by yourself. It's not possible. You need a tremendous team that believes in you, that believes in your vision, that believes in your passion. And so for us, that's been most of building So Good, developing that team, developing that core foundation that's going to ride us through success. Because you're only as good as your team.
We talk about sowing goodness in our communities. And I think during the pandemic, we all wanted to help our communities as much as we could. And for you and Ira, the way that you guys can sow good is through entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. That is your bread and butter. That is your passion. That's what you guys are extremely, extremely good at. And so through entrepreneurship and creating opportunities, you gave people a chance to come back from the pandemic. And So Good is just that baby. I mean, it was literally every day. And when we were in Colorado during quarantine, we just started building So Good. And I love that it didn't start with a product. It kind of started with an idea first and this belief and this, we want to do better in our communities, and everything that you just talked about. And that's what So Good's built on. And that's why I think So Good can be more than just a snack company right now. We can also do a podcast. There are so many fields that we can go in because you've built such a strong foundation of who we are, what our DNA is. And I was so attracted to that, that, you know, having no background in business, I decided to pivot and join you guys. And it's been such a pleasure. It's been such a ride. There's such a grit to the startup world. My God.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's so much harder than I thought. And it's a lot of knocking on doors and, you know,
sometimes getting rejected.
You get a door slammed in your face, especially as I try to do sales in New York. I think that if you can handle New York, you can, if you can handle New York taste testers, if you can handle, you know, New York business people, you can handle anything because that has given me a backbone. But yeah, I think So Good really promotes the growth of its employees. And I felt that personally. Sometimes I like interact with a buyer or I interact with a customer. And I think I would never have been that bold, or I never would have been that conversational, you know, a few months ago. This is my fourth month. So 4 months ago, I feel myself growing personally and professionally, which is cool. So thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, and I think that, you know, So Good really is a meritocracy. Mm-hmm. It is a place where if you want to grow,
yeah,
if you want to be exceptional, and everyone's exceptional is different. You know, we have a sanitation worker that I love.
Pedro. Hey, Pedro.
He is just
getting Pedro on the pod.
Exceptional at what he does.
Yeah, he has heart.
He has so much heart. Right. And what we try to do is create environments for people to succeed. And whatever their success looks like, that's what we're trying to achieve. For you, you know, and side note to all mothers and parents out there, I think one of the things that I tried to instill in you and your sister is take chances.
Take every opportunity.
Absolutely.
And don't, I always had this, you know, narrow vision. Like, I must do this. I must follow this path, X, Y, Z. I must get this internship. I must follow this route. And you'd say, you have a really cool opportunity. Take it. Mm-hmm. Don't narrow yourself into a corner. You are 18. You are 20. You are now 24. You have plenty of time to figure out what it is exactly you want to do and how you can use your skills. So just take every opportunity to learn and grow.
Yeah. And I think if I could impart any wisdom on anyone, it is don't be scared to veer from your path. Take the opportunities that come your way and learn and grow. And some of them are going to be amazing. Some of them are going to be terrible. But through it all, you learn. I can tell you some of the worst jobs or tasks or duties that I had to do, I learned a tremendous amount from. And even now, you know, with So Good, it's a learning curve all over again, you know?
You're in a different space now. You were in the pet food space before.
Exactly.
Now you're in, and a lot of it you can talk about was private label. And now the total opposite is an entire beast in itself is being in the health and wellness space, CPG space, and, you know, branding.
Yeah.
It's a new age.
It is. And, you know, I do want to talk about the products for a minute because we did have an idea.
Well, yeah, you should tell the people what we're talking
about. Let me tell you a little bit about what we actually do. We had this idea of we wanted to create a company that empowered employees. But in addition to that, we wanted something that was healthy, nutritious, and shelf-stable. Through the pandemic, I think for the first time, a lot of Americans sat there and said, I can't get all the produce I want. Yeah. I can't get all the meat I want.
Especially with how often you guys would travel for work. Biggest pet peeve. I'd come home, open the fridge, and just I'd send a picture of the new kinds of mold that needed to be studied from a strawberry that had been left for 3 months.
Yeah.
So
we traveled a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we traveled 150, 200,000 miles a year pre-COVID. And so, you know, once we exited the pet space and we thought about, okay, what are we passionate about? And I was passionate about health and wellness. And not weight loss, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but really about, you know, whole foods in your body. And, you know, like Lexi was saying, I love fresh fruit. It's my dessert. It's her main food group. It is.
Fresh berries.
And so during COVID, to not have any fresh fruit was just horrendous.
Also, we weren't close to the grocery store. It took like an hour to get there. And then the shelves would be empty.
Oh, it was horrible. And so we sat there and we said, well, wait, we're experts in freeze drying. Let's start a freeze-dried company for human, you know, consumption for food. And that's really how the product line started coming about. Okay, what is it that we want? We want whole fruits, whole vegetables. We don't want any preservatives. There is nothing in the So Good line that has a preservative or ever will. It's just not what we believe in. That's why we use freeze-dried technology. Freeze dryers are incredibly expensive. You know, our freeze dryer is about $2.5 million, which is a lot of money for one piece of machine. But that power that you have to take food out of the waste cycle, because I don't know how many of you guys know, about 40% of all of the food in the U.S. gets thrown away. And why does it get thrown away? Because it spoils, it gets mold in your refrigerator. Or let's start with the farmer. Grocery stores have specifications that they want. You know, the apple needs to be 8 inches in diameter, and I'm making this number up, so don't, you know, send me a message going, it's 6.5 inches. And so if fruit or veggies do not meet those specifications of shape, color, whatever it may be, a lot of times it goes to waste. We can take those products.
And ugly fruits. Imperfect fruits.
Yeah, imperfect, out of spec, ugly, you know, whatever you call them. We can take those, and instead of them going to a landfill, we bring them into the facility and we run them through the freeze dryer, and you have a perfect strawberry, a perfect blueberry that has concentrated flavor and has the shelf life, depending on packaging, anywhere between 3 years and 25 years. That is the amazing power of freeze drying. So those are the products. And then, you know, Lexi lived in New York, and we would go do a workout class together. And, you know, she would tell me, Mommy, you know, we got to stop at this smoothie place. They have the best smoothies.
$12
smoothies. $12 later. And it's like I'd see her credit card statement. You know, I'd get the alert every day.
Before I was financially
This
independent.
Is true.
Just make it clear.
$12, $12, $12. So every time I would try to make a smoothie, you know, the spinach would be bad. The strawberries will have gone bad. And it was this never-ending cycle of throwing out bad produce. And it really hurt my soul to do it. And so we sat there and we said, oh my gosh, we can use our freeze-dried snacks and make smoothies. And they're shelf-stable. So, you know, this originally was just freeze-dried product in the cup. You put it in the blender with water and ice and you blend it. And so that's how the smoothies came around. One of the pillars of Sewing Excellence, which is our internal cultural document, is waste. We fight waste. And so, you know, we sat there and there are powders and pieces of strawberry, blueberry that can't go into our smoothies or can't go into our snack bags because they're too small for snacking. And we sat there and, you know, we don't throw anything away. We keep it until we figure out how we can use it.
Yeah, I remember sitting in those meetings and saying, well, we have a lot of Miss Claudia. We have a lot of powder. We have small pieces of the fruit breaking off. What are we doing? And you're about to say, what did we do?
So we created granola. And
that's called upcycling.
It is. And so we wanted something that was gluten-free, grain-free. We really listened to our customers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's one of the most important things that I can do as a CEO is really listen to you guys. What is it that you're looking for? And you guys were looking for gluten-free, grain-free, no fillers, no preservatives, no cane sugars or, you know, all of these
ingredients you can't pronounce.
Exactly. And so, you know, our granola is almond-based. We use honey and maple syrup as our binding agents. And we take those powders and those pieces, and that's what gives it the nutrition from the fruit as well as the flavor.
And people love the granola.
It's life-changing.
Love the granola. And I love granola too, but it's not something that I would consider snackable because anytime I ate too much granola, I felt bloated. I felt like I just ate a full meal. But this granola is lightweight. And yeah, you're not using natural flavoring. You're using the freeze-dried fruit for that added texture, added flavor. And my God, I love it.
I still like when I see
every
natural
morning
flavoring, like, what does that mean?
Who are you?
But I do want to touch on something that you were talking about, our production meetings. What you'll hear a lot from us at So Good is setting the right foundations. And for me, the strength of our company is really on its foundation. It's on every little brick you build from day one. And your employees, your team need to know that your passion and your vision is real. They can't just be words on the paper. They have to be the actions that you live by every day. So when we talk about sewing excellence, when we talk about being the best company with the best products, focusing on quality, it has to be practiced every minute of every day in that facility. So it's about being careful when you package so it's not falling on the floor. It's about putting the boxes, you know, at 90 degree angles, because if you're sloppy in one thing, you're going to be sloppy in everything.
You're also touching on that innovative aspect. You guys love innovation, and you especially, you love creating products and you love perfecting them and you love making new products. So anytime someone's like, well, I wish we had this flavor, or I wish you guys could do this, you love making new things.
Well, I think that that's being a good company.
Yeah.
You have to listen to your customers. What do they want? And they want new flavors or a new upcycled product that tackles a food waste issue. To me, relevance is key as a business owner. We have to stay relevant. And how do you stay relevant? By being innovative, by being a partner to our retail partners. You know, we're launching into retail now. You know, we're starting conversations with some.
This will be fun to look back on. Like, we launched direct to consumer.
Correct.
Directly from your website, people could purchase from you and boom, ship directly to them. Launching in retail, you sell to the retailer and then, you know, that's how you walk into grocery stores and pick up the food. And that's what we're working on now, is really expanding our retail presence. And that's what I'm doing in New York. We're going to a trade show. I'm going to a trade show in like 2 hours in California for 3 days and then flying to New York. And I think I have like 4 or 5 taste testings to set up outside of the stores that I've sold to. So this is a painful and exciting time. And when we look back at this, hopefully we're like, oh, we were just starting out launching in retail stores. How cute.
Yeah. You've got to start somewhere.
And boots on the ground. People get so surprised when they see you at trade shows and when they see you sampling in New York or wherever we
which
are.
Which blows my mind.
We did street food fairs, which was so fun in New York. I mean, anytime you get to just meet dozens and dozens of new people, introduce them to your product for the first time, they're like, oh my God, this is so good. I literally wish we could record the number of times people are like, oh, I get it now.
To me, that's the most fun part of my job, mm-hmm. introducing people to our products and seeing their reactions in real time. Yeah. And I love it when someone, you know, comes by and they're like, I don't do fruit. You know, yeah. I'm not
a healthy person. I don't drink smoothies.
And I'm like, just give it a try. If you don't like it, you don't have to have any more. And sure enough, they're like, oh my gosh, that's so good. Yeah. And I'm like, I know.
Another unique component of So Good is that we're already public.
Yes, we are a public company.
Walk through that and report into Wall Street.
It was something that I was scared about.
You were.
I didn't want to be public.
This was many conversations.
So many conversations.
I think, let's pause for a second. Being in Colorado together, and again, we had not been under the same roof for that long. We were tucked away like a prolonged retreat on what are we going to do next? And it was like an incubator.
It could have gone Lord of the Flies, but thank goodness it did not.
You're so literary. She reads. Being tucked away from anyone else. I mean, we literally went in to quarantine and came out with a business. And my friends and your friends, people are just like, what? So I think just spending that concentrated time isolated from everyone on top of a mountain, we just had so much time to think of such a strong foundation and what we wanted to do. And yeah, it was during like literally conversations every day about going public. So yeah, walk through that decision process.
As Lexi mentioned, you know, we were in Telluride, Colorado, most beautiful place, you know, in the world, in my opinion. It's my happy place. And, you know, through COVID, there were so many hard lessons. Yeah. There were so many devastating moments. But there were also, you know, little pockets of lessons learned and opportunities gained.
A lot of people took that time to reevaluate. When I come out of this, how am I? I'm not going to be the same person. I'm going to be better. Yeah. Or my life is going to be better, my setup. There are people like some of your friends who are the highest level of execs and we're nonstop every single day, you know, on a flight every other day, going international. Yeah. And they're like, after this pause, they definitely won't stir crazy. But also just when they come out of it, they're going to live a healthier life.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hear those stories of, for us, we had the opportunity to live together as a family for the first time in 10 years, for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Someone was always somewhere else.
Right.
And, you know, So Good really started around the dinner table one day. It's okay. You know, we have this expertise. We have the ability to build this technology. So now what can we do with it? And it's like a snowball. At least to me, that's how business is. You know, you get that kernel of an idea and then you go to sleep thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. You know, you're eating, you're thinking about it. You're on the treadmill.
And you just walk into my room and be like, Lexi, what about this? I'm like, okay, fine, let's do it.
And I think what the opportunity for us, as Lexi mentioned in our previous company, we were very much a co-manufacturer. So we didn't have to worry about the branding, any of that stuff. We just had to worry about making product. Mm-hmm. And this time, we really wanted to grow ourselves and learn and expand and build a strong brand.
And personal connection with people.
Yeah.
Really anywhere that our product touches, whoever it touches, whichever community, we wanted to create a positive impact.
Absolutely. And so, you know, through that brand building experience, because we wanted So Good to be more than a product. Mm-hmm. We're not just a manufacturing company making a great product. We really want to stand. We want to stand for something. And we want, when people see a So Good product, to be inspired, to aspire to live a little bit cleaner, a little bit healthier, a little more sustainable. Not asking you to, like Lexi said, sell all of your, you know, worldly possessions and go live in a tent in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Make a small sustainable change. Take a little food out of the waste cycle. Before your blueberries go bad, put them in a Ziploc and put them in the freezer and use them in a smoothie. Yeah. Use, you know, instead of paper towels, I use, you know, cloth paper towels that I roll and they sit in your paper towel holder. So I use those and I wash them. Instead of using paper napkins, you know, I have cloth napkins that I wash. So those are the little changes that if we all do them together, that's powerful. That's magical.
And so going public.
Going public, sorry. I get cut up. So we were in Telluride and, you know, this idea started taking root. And our next door neighbor is one of our, you know, closest family friends.
Uncle Lili,
a.k.a. Lyle Berman, who is one of the most brilliant business people I know. Lyle has just built some tremendous companies from Rainforest Cafe to the World Poker Tour. And anytime Ira and I have strategic business questions or obstacles, Lyle's the person we talk to because he just has such a deep understanding of business fundamentals.
Let's get Lyle on the podcast.
Oh, you totally should. And Ira and Lyle while we were in Telluride, would walk this loop every morning. And so during those walks, you know, Ira would tell Lyle what we were building and what the ideas were and what we were doing. And Ira and I were going to fund it ourselves and grow organically. You know, we were going to start somewhat small and just grow from there. Lyle had was on the board of this public company that was looking for what business they were going to acquire. They had some assets, they had some cash, and they wanted to inject it into a company. So here comes So Good, right? Which at the time, we were going to call it Sustain Us.
We're going way back, my God.
So to give you guys a little bit of context, because everything in our life always moves so quickly. You know, Lyle spoke to me and Ira about possibly doing this merger. And I told Ira, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a public company. And fear can hold you back so often. Fear of the unknown.
You've never been in a public company. And like the perception of, you have to report to people. Yeah. It's no longer yours. You guys love taking ownership of the company, running it yourselves, having to like report to people. Especially when we have Ira on the podcast. Reporting to others is not his strong suit.
But I didn't realize how limiting that was for us.
Yeah.
I mean, our board right now, we have Greg Creed, who is the former CEO of Yum Brand. What an amazing resource Greg has been. I mean, not only is he a close personal friend, but it's been interesting to have friendships that now are part of our business world and to just experience our friends' brilliance. Is amazing. Yeah.
But you have surrounded yourself with people who can teach you something, and you surround yourself with really strong friendships and mentors. You know, they're very experienced and knowledgeable in their fields. Greg Creed, Yum Brands to Taco Bell and KFC.
And Pizza Hut, yeah.
And Pizza Hut. And you wouldn't think that relates to So Good, but the knowledge that he has, the expertise, and just to grow any business to that level, and the fact that he loves our products too. Yeah. Like really, we thought at first that we were just a health and wellness, you know, just that target audience. But I think we had to check ourselves really early on. Like people from all age ranges, you know, from babies teething on products, they love the mango, to someone from old age. I mean, the number of older people in New York who stop by like, what is this? And they see my Jewish star and they're like, love you again, David. Shabbat shalom. Love the product. Let me go in and buy some. It's just so many. And I just get shocked every single day I'm out there. Like, you like it too?
Yeah.
Basically just anyone who snacks, anyone who wants something that tastes good, or anyone who wants to do some more sustainability in their lives.
It crosses all ages,
all
races, sex, demographics. Everyone just wants something that tastes really good, that's healthy for you. So that just,
I love that.
Crosses everything.
So Greg Creed is another one of your board members. Yeah, your board is filled with people who are great mentors.
Chris Ludeman, who, you know, capital markets at CBRE. Again, close personal friend that we really wanted some advice and feedback from people that we trusted and that we loved and that were brilliant, and others on the board that just brings such a new level of expertise and experience in public markets and branding and global brands and global markets. That's just been awe-inspiring for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I took away from going public is don't limit yourself because of fear.
Take every opportunity, mother.
I know. And find mentors. No matter where you are in life, no matter how many successes you've had, failures, ups, downs, whatever it is, find mentors. Find people that inspire you every day, whether it be in your personal life or in your professional life. And by the same token, mentor others.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel like you have a lot to teach, you have something to teach someone. Mm-hmm. And share that journey with them, you know, share that knowledge, that passion, whatever it is you feel like you can bring into someone else's life. It's really incredibly powerful. And I think that you become so much more enriched by being a mentor to someone and being mentored by someone.
Yeah. Let's go through your origin story. So walk me through.
How am I going to get like a DC Comics? You know, this is my origin story.
I think Ava would be upset that you said DC. I think she'd rather Marvel.
Yes. I apologize, Marvel.
If Ava were on here, she would give you an earful. Whether you're DC or Marvel superhero, whichever it may be. Walk me through how you got to the point where you are now. I'll turn the reins over to you. But yeah, how did you come to be the CEO of a company, Mama?
There was no vat of acid. Dumb luck. Tremendous.
Do not start with that.
Hold on.
Mother.
Let me continue. Tremendous hard work and not being scared to take risks. You need a little bit of luck in business. You just do.
I mean, a pandemic could hit.
Yeah. And I think especially over the last 2 years, we've learned how many things outside of our control can affect even the most well-run businesses or the most seasoned professionals.
It's like being able to adapt.
Adaptability. Yeah. Pivoting.
Because literally anything could happen.
Yeah.
As we've learned.
You know, I feel like I could talk forever. Mm-hmm. Because I get really passionate.
Yeah.
And we're also, one thing you'll find as you hear us talk, we're really dorky and nerdy. But, you know, it's fun.
I'm not.
I am.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. So how I became me, Claudia Goldfarb, CEO of So Good. Dumb luck.
Okay.
Tremendous hard work. And not being scared to take opportunities and risks. No matter how seasoned you are, no matter how well run your company, I think the last 2 years have proven that there are so many things outside of our control. So you need a little bit of luck. No matter what, to find success, you need a lot of hard work. You need sleepless nights. You need to go to sleep thinking about what you're doing, waking up. And you need to not be scared to take risks because, you know, no risk, no reward. Mm-hmm. So I was born in Mexico City. My parents moved to the U.S. when I was 2 years old. My parents wanted to have the opportunity for a better life, for a better education, for upward mobility. And in Mexico at that time, it was difficult. And so they came to the U.S. and, you know, I lived in a Spanish-speaking household. The first language I learned was Spanish. And, you know, fast forward, we moved to California. And my parents always believed in education. They always believed that if you had education, you had opportunity. Yeah. And so, you know, they struggled to put us in the best, you know, schools that they could so that we would have those opportunities, so that we would, you know, be well-read and have the skill sets we needed to succeed. They instilled a tremendous work ethic in both me and my brother. And, you know, fast forward, and I got pregnant when I was 21 years old.
You're welcome.
And, you know, again, you know, when you talk about crossroads in your life, at the time, you know, I had to drop out of college because I had a mouth to feed. And, you know, there's that moment where you think, oh my gosh, my life is over. And then you look at the opportunities. You look at these blessings that you never expected. And so Lexi was born. And wow, changed the direction of my life forever. I had been on a very selfish, self-destructive path before she came into my life. And having her really made me analyze what I wanted out of life and the kind of mother I wanted to be and the opportunities I wanted to give her. And so I dove into work. I had never worked before and I didn't know how to do much of anything. And, you know, I was very fortunate that I found people that were willing to give me opportunities because I was hungry and because I wanted to build a better life for you.
What were the first jobs you worked?
So, which is actually really full circle interesting. My first job was as an assistant manager at a Donna Karan store in Tucson, Arizona. And the reason I think that's really interesting is Ira's father, and you'll hear more about Ira's father when he comes on this podcast, survived the Holocaust in a hole and came to the U.S. with nothing and built this public company called G3 that's now run by Aaron's son, Ira's brother, Morris. And about 5 years ago, they bought Donna Karan. So talk about a full, you know, circle moment for me. So assistant manager, I mean, I was working nights and weekends and, Black Fridays. And it was just, it was a lot. And you were a newborn. And, I didn't have a lot of support during that time. But I grew. It was hard. It was hard. And there's no easy way to go about that. But the love that I felt for you and that fulfillment just made it all worthwhile. You know, every hard night was worth it because I had you in my life. So you grow through that. And it lit a fire under my butt. You know, I did not want Lexi to, I mean, there were days that I didn't have, you know, money for gas in the car and groceries. I mean, my daycare story isn't unique, right? Yeah. I'm like so many single mothers out there. But it really lit a passion inside of me to do more, to be more. And, you know, it's the truth. My drive, my passion, who I am today is a direct result of me having Lexi and Ava.
And you would tell me, like, you might have just been the assistant manager. You might have just been, you know, cash register person, but you were going to be the best one that they had. And you were going to grow and you were going to climb and fight.
And that
and you did.
You know, every job I had, every duty I had, I tried to be the best. You know, I came in early, I left late, and I wanted to show them that I was worthy of them investing in me, in them giving me more opportunity. And they did. Through my job at Donna Karan, there was an opportunity to move to San Antonio, Texas, and run a store there. And even though I loved the time I spent in retail, I didn't see it being my long-term goal or plan. It was really an ends to a means. You know, it helped me provide for you and your sister. It kept roofs over our heads, you know, food on the table. It was definitely tight. It was hard. So I didn't want to live paycheck to paycheck. I didn't want to stress about the daycare bill or, you know, what the price of gas was. And this was, I remember when gas was under a dollar a gallon when we first got to Texas. And so, you know, I'd studied accounting in school. I started refreshing my accounting skills, you know, books. This was pre-internet and online classes and all of that.
You went to the store, you got all those books.
Oh, yeah.
You're reading it at the dining table.
So I had a friend of mine that knew someone at the North American Development Bank in San Antonio, Texas. And they do amazing work. They do infrastructure development, focusing on water and wastewater, solid waste, and now they're branching out into like environmental energy and things like that. So they had an opening for someone on their development team that had an accounting background. And even though normally they don't hire anyone that doesn't have a degree, Armando and Pepe, thank you guys. You guys
love
were life-changing. They took a chance on me and they gave me a job. And that experience was probably that first step in the road to who I am today as a professional. They opened a door for me that no one else was willing to open. They gave me the opportunity to be a professional, to be an important member of the team. And, you know, I busted my butt. Mm-hmm. There were so
we
many-
would bring her clothes because she would stay overnight at work. And we'd bring her, she was loved the Coke Zeros. We would bring her six packs of Coke Zeros.
Diet Coke at that time. Oh, this was pre-Coke Zero.
Pre-Coke Zero, Diet Coke back in the dark ages. And if she slept in the office that night, we'd bring her a change of clothes in the morning.
Yeah.
And she'd just keep going.
Yeah. And it changed my life, you know.
Eve and I would camp out under your desk.
Yeah. I mean, there were so many times to talk about an amazing employer. You know, if the girls couldn't go to daycare because they had a fever, they'd let me bring them in to work because I couldn't afford not to work.
Right.
And I couldn't afford to stay home. And so
yeah.
You would come in and, you know, I'd make like a little sleeping, you know, mattress under my desk. And so that's why I tell you, mentor people, look for mentors. You don't
give
know.
Opportunities wherever you can.
You can change someone's life in a minute. I mean, my life would have taken such a different path had Pepe and Armando not said, you know, you're worth it. I'm going to give you a shot.
I think that's when you really grew into yourself or started that road of you're a CEO.
Yeah.
You have that boss mentality. You'd be the only female sometimes walking into a room.
Oh, you know, being in infrastructure, ton of engineers.
Latin American.
Yeah. I mean,
culture.
I was probably 95% of the time, I was the only female in the room. But for me, it was an opportunity.
My favorite is when you'd walk into a room and someone would be like, oh, can you get us more water?
Yeah. Oh, especially like, in Mexico.
I'm here to give you the money.
you know, there was this definite mindset of women were secretaries. So the first time I would meet some people, you know, I'd walk in with Pepe or with Armando and they'd think I was a secretary and not a valued member of the team. And so, you know, it was just really interesting to also give them the ability to kind of grow beyond their own norms and be like, oh, wow, okay, you know, hey, welcome aboard. So that was definitely a life-changing moment. And then I've always hungered for more.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to see how far I could push myself and how much can I grow. Don't limit yourself. No matter, you know, we always have these benchmarks that we want to hit, right? These goals in life. I've blown through every goal I've had in my life. And so what did I do? I set new ones.
Yeah.
And the ultimate one being so good.
Yeah.
Because if I can create a company that not only financially, I mean, I want more financially, you know, I want that growth, that opportunity, that, you know, that paycheck.
Yeah.
So it's not all altruistic to be a good business person, you need to want to succeed financially. But now we're at the point where we can balance that financial success with what does the company stand for and what does it do every day?
Yeah.
That's definitely surreal. So many struggles.
Yeah.
And I was sitting outside, I was in Telluride, looking at the stars, because that's how I find my center in Telluride. And I just gave thanks because to go from that to, you know, I had a phone call with a CEO of one of the national grocery stores that does billions of dollars in revenue. And so for me, that was just such a humbling moment and such a moment where you're just grateful that you live in a country where you can dream big, and if you work hard, you can make it happen. So, yeah. And that's how.
That's how the wonderful person has come to be sitting across from me.
I'm so excited to share how So Good continues to do.
Yeah.
Because this is just the beginning of the next chapter in our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for you guys to come along on this journey. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear your feedback. So please, I think one of the highlights for me is talking to our customers and the people that want So Good in their homes. So please.
Mother, you are such an inspiration to me. I'm so, so fortunate to be able to be in the office with you every day and learning from you, seeing your growth from when I was young to where you are now. I'm so proud of you. I'm
aww,
so, so proud of you.
Baby cakes.
No, you really, I just, if there are more people like you in the world.
Aww, sweetheart.
I've seen you grow so much and I'm so proud of you. And I love you and thank you for always supporting me and Ava, always supporting the growth of your employees. I mean, seeing the love that people have for you. I'm so excited for all that So Good can do because I know that you are at the helm of it and you will always give your all to everybody and to everything that you do. So thank you so much. Let's do a cheers. I like to end off with, how do you think that people can So Good in their communities, in themselves, in their world?
I will give you just one. And I think it's been the theme of this one. Be a good mentor and find a good mentor because it can change people's lives. And here's to us growing together. And the sky's the limit.
Cheers. Salud, mama.
Salud.
All right.
Time to catch a flight.
Bye,
time to go
everyone.
Pay the bills.
Make some
someone's,
money.
Someone's got to bring in the money around here.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.